This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll begin with a question posed this morning at the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court. Should a person convicted of possessing child pornography be required to wear a GPS monitor while on probation?
The SJC heard two cases on this issue today. Lawyers with Attorney General Martha Coakley's office argued that state law requires GPS bracelets for anyone convicted of a sex offense involving a child, regardless of the magnitude of the offense.
But defense attorney Catherine Hain Barnwell told the court today that child pornography offenders shouldn't fall under the mandate because they had no direct contact with a child.
There's no identifiable child victim in the community that he could harm. There's no demonstrable risk that he poses that he will harm a child. This is a non-contact offense. And the judge at sentencing noted his extraordinary rehabilitation and his acceptance of responsibility in this matter.
Child protection advocates disagree, saying that wearing GPS tracking devices on probation could prevent future crimes. For more, let's turn to Ian Elliott. He's a visiting professor at the UMass Lowell School of Criminology and Justice Studies. Professor Elliott, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Let's just get right to this question. Is GPS monitoring effective to curb the behavior of people convicted of possessing child pornography?
I guess it's a question of risk management, really. Statistics have shown that there's certainly evidence that there's a subgroup of online offenders that pose a very low risk of reoffending and that do seem to limit their behavior to online offending. 1 in 20 of those offenders does go on to commit a new sexual offense, and we do know that 1 in 8 offenders does have a previous known offline contact offense. So in terms of them being low risk offenders, the question would be whether or not GPS monitoring is suitable for that subgroup of offenders. So for the individuals that are effectively supervising those individuals, you know, the probation and parole officers, their concern is with public safety.
In addition, the defense seems to be arguing here, Professor Elliott, that the state is painting all sex offenders with a very broad brush and that they're equating the offense of possessing child pornography with other much more serious sex offenses against children, and that therefore the punishment or probationary terms should be the same. What does the latest in criminology research, you know, tell us about the validity of that claim?
Well, the problem is that we just don't know enough about what risk looks like in internet offenders. And obviously the management of offenders in the community is based on what we know of risk. We don't know, for example, what characteristics, what behaviors make internet offenders more likely to reoffend. Therefore, the management of sex offenders in the community and of internet offenders seems to be based on what we know of contact offenders. And so that leads to internet offenders being managed in a similar way to sex offenders on the whole.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you, it seems to me that there is an also deeper underlying concern here, and that is the possibility that people who begin by viewing child pornography online may go on to actually harm children. I mean, we have some tape here. It's from Lori Myers. She's the founder of the child protection group Community Voices, and she insists that child pornography can be as harmful as sexual assault.
We need to start sending messages to these offenders. We're putting kids at risk, and it needs to be addressed right from the start, right when these guys are caught.
So, Professor Elliott, how much do we know about the likelihood of someone convicted of possessing child pornography, whether or not they might actually go on to harm children directly?
We don't know a lot, to be honest. The issue that we have is that we currently, in terms of criminology and in terms of understanding the psychology of internet offending, we only really work with known offenses. So, for example, if we take an individual who has an internet offense, we can estimate that around 1 in 8 of those offenders will have a known previous contact offense. What we don't know is obviously whether they have any unknown previous contact offenses. So, therefore, we don't really know what order the offenses tend to occur in. So it's difficult to sort of weed out these differences, I guess, yes.
Well, finally, Professor Elliott, I mean, we are talking about internet child pornography here, and I note that as part of the probationary terms in these pair of cases that the SJC heard today, in one of them, the man was banned outright from surfing the internet at all while on probation, and the other one was restricted to using the internet only for work-related searches. I wonder, are there more sophisticated ways of tracking internet usage while someone's on probation for these crimes?
Absolutely, yes. It's quite common that internet offenders do tend to have their internet restricted when they return to the community. And over the last couple of years, I've been involved in a series of projects that originated in the UK, where we've been using network monitoring software to try and enforce acceptable use. So what the software does is it contains words and phrases that we may be concerned about or that we would consider to be unacceptable use. If any of those words or phrases either are typed into the computer or appear on the screen, maybe as part of a website or as part of a Word document, the software will take a snapshot of the screen at that time and will provide that information directly back to their supervising officer. So their supervising officer can then monitor potentially unacceptable use of the internet and make some decisions about whether or not that constitutes risky behavior or whether or not that constitutes new offending.
And you said this is a pilot program in Pennsylvania right now, but that you had also done similar work in the UK. Do we have any evidence from the UK that these internet monitoring tools were effective?
We don't yet know whether or not it actively produces better outcomes in terms of whether or not it stops people from committing new offences until we're able to roll the project out and have greater numbers of offenders using the software. We're unlikely to know that.
Ian Elliott is a visiting professor at UMass Lowell, the School of Criminology and Justice Studies there. Professor Elliott, thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up next, Northampton journalist Nell Lake shares stories of caregivers, stories of slow loss, courage, and love. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.